So this is a Daphne here. I'm trying to remember the name of this one, but this is must be one of the most early blooming.
Try that again. You want to take another smell?
All right.
I got to slow down my picture taking because I'm getting them blurred.
Flowers, I find, are not easy to photograph.
Yeah.
Well, I find that what happens is my camera tends to gravitate towards the leaf margins and away from the flowers and the kind of light that's emanating from them.
Yeah, well, that's nice.
It's almost like the flowers are moving. So this, you know, Daphne, this is the Daphne Balua.
Oh, that's got a pretty potent scent.
Yeah. I mean, this has kind of, to me, has an old-fashioned scent. I think I remember my grandmother having soap that smelled like this.
Yes, it does have a nice grandmotherish smell.
Yeah. I think she has...
Not the grandmother itself, but the place where
they live. No, just some things
that
she might have in her...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like some soap in the bathroom, that type of thing.
Even the color of it kind of is evocative of grandmother, kind of soft... Not quite loud pinkish, but
yeah. And this is a beautiful plant. It's tall and upright, which I think are really desirable. A lot of people, when they're planning their gardens, you know, neglect to realize how big and how wide some of the plants that they like are going to get. Like these witch hazels, for example.
Yeah, pretty fat.
They're really
spreaders.
Hard to fit those into residential landscapes.
Yeah, yeah.
That large.
And so is this a young version of this plant? Or
You know, I looked this up recently because I wasn't familiar with this plant. I'm much more familiar with the winter Daphne, Daphne odora, Oreo marginata, which is the one you usually see. And this one... I think this one, you know, can grow to be, I don't know, maybe, I think it said like 10 feet. So not too much bigger than this. And I think I read also that this plant is used to make some type of paper. But I'll need to look into that.
Now, how would you make the paper from something like that as we look at that?
I don't know. It wouldn't give you more than a few sheets.
Yeah, right. You'd need a plantation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to have, quite a lot of it.
But the paper's made from the leaves of the plant, yes?
You know, I assume it was made from...
Or the tree itself.
The tree itself.
Cut it, grind it up, pulp it, and boom, you got your paper.
Yeah. But, yeah, I you know, again, I'll need to explore that.
Now, do you know people who actually make their own paper and who create artwork from that?
You know, I don't know... See, we're really getting, we're downwind
getting
from it,
yeah,
so
yeah,
we're
yeah.
really getting hit with it. These are much more, I find that the scents can be much more potent sometimes if you're downwind from them. This specimen's interesting because, do you notice how the petals are longer and straighter, where the other ones were sort of shorter and more zigzagged?
Do you think this is because it gets a little more light here?
No, I think this is actually a different variety.
Oh.
Because if you look at the tags, these all have different names. Although I think most of these are not really seen in the nursery trade much. But this shape is typical, this kind of, I don't know, I would say vase shape, but this is more kind of crater calyx shape.
yeah concave
yeah
maybe.
But no, it's really really quite nice.
So this is what they're talking about with a winter garden here.
This is the official
entry. Yeah.
Okay, now you can hear the hummingbirds.
Now, that was that large insect sound. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it sounds, I don't know, it sounds like something with a spring that needs to be oiled.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have several different kind of witch hazel colors.
You were right about the Because it sounded
this
like...
This one doesn't have a variety name. This is just the species, Hamamelis mollis. But this one here, with a slightly more orange shade... one that I see in the nurseries a lot is called Arnold's Promise. This one's called Orange Beauty. Again, I've never heard of it, this variety, outside of this. This one here is called Ruby Glow. That seems aptly named. Oh yeah, you can really get the scent right here. Yeah, and how would you describe that? I mean, it's very difficult to describe.
I got a better hit of it when we were...
Yeah, when actually, we were down the road.
We got that waft downwind. I'm not good at describing these. I mean, when I hear it, it either sounds right or doesn't when someone else describes it. But
maybe we should come with a sommelier next time.
Or someone who's more scent-oriented. But this yellow one is really quite striking.
Yeah, this one is the... I mentioned this earlier. This is Pallida. Now, if you get, I would suggest getting up close to this and getting some of the scent, because it is, this one has a slightly more citrusy, sweet, candy-like scent.
It says Helleborus orientalis.
Oh, yeah, those are our...
that's down there.
Yeah,
yeah, that's something else.
These down here...
The shrubs.
Yeah, well, these are actually perennials. And
there we go.
They really are quite dramatic. I like the idea of having these witch hazels underplanted with the hellebores. Look at this. This one here looks quite vigorous.
Yeah.
What they must have done last year, these are evergreen, and they cut all the leaves off. So there's all this new growth coming out. And you can see that a lot of these, they range from purple to kind of a cream to pure white. Some have speckles on the inside.
Oh, wow. Let me get a shot of that. I want to get a close-up here. So let me just... there we go. That's more like it. Yeah, that's a good
shot. Okay, yeah. I'm trying to keep my hands still. It's hard.
I know. That's all right.
And, but yeah, I think this one is the most fragrant.
Yeah, that's a whole different scent.
And it's a sweeter...
Yeah. Almost an herbal tea kind of.
Yeah, less bracing. The other ones are... So I just want to point these out here. Well, we've got more hellebores here. This is a different variety of hellebore. I think that's the Helleborus nigra. Or the black hellebore. This is the Helleborus orientalis. And there's a lot of hybrids here, too.
Do you know what that bird is? The one that was just...
No. I've seen a lot of golden-crowned kinglets in Seward Park. And maybe that's what they are. I'll have to keep my eyes peeled. So this here, this is the Mahonia arthur menzies. It's related to the Oregon grape. But I think this is a variety that was actually... bred here or discovered here in the Arboretum. It's a cross between the Mahonia belii, which is two varieties of Japanese Mahonia, but it's by far the largest in the family. But again, the anise hummingbirds are usually all over these flower stalks. And what's in here? There's some things here. Oh.
Yeah, so there's a bush tit or something?
I think that's the kinglet, isn't it?
Is that?
Maybe it's a warbler. I really don't know.
It's got sort of a striped head.
Yeah, black mask. Yellow stripe. Really matches the plant perfectly.
I wish I had a telephoto lens.
Yeah.
I can't even see it on my camera.
It's funny though how it's got the green, yellow, and brown that this plant has. Exactly. I'll have to check my bird guide when I get him. Oh, there's an Anna's hummingbird. Right. Oh, there it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah, green, sort of that.
Yeah, the green. Shiny, that's a green female. So the male has the kind of the purple throat and the black mask.
So hummingbirds are indigenous to this part of the world, but has there been sort of a migration happening?
There's two varieties of hummingbird. There's the
Rufus.
Rufus, which is one that arrives in the spring, but then the Anna's hummingbird is kind of been a more recent
development.
It's mm-hmm. been, yeah, up, you know, it's been kind of migrating north over time. And as you can see in a place like this with, you know, human cultivated landscapes, there's plenty for them to feast on.
Yeah. And Rufus, of course, best known for the work with Chaka Khan back in the 70s.
Oh, yes, yes. Tell me something good.
That's right.